It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back on Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch, and I'm joined by U.S. Representative Nikki Budzinski. She is running again for Illinois' 13th congressional district in the Metro East. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Megan.
Let's just dive right in to what's happening right now with U.S. Steel and the potential sale to Nippon. I'm curious where you stand on that, because it's really hit the national stage now.
For sure. Look, I'm always going to be fighting for Granite City and the people of Granite City and the steel making that we have done that has been the lifeblood of that community. I am very concerned and oppose the Nippon sale at this point, because I want to see their investment commitment to the community of Granite City. And that has been very unclear. Since I've come into office, though, we've been trying to advocate with U.S. Steel, the current operator of Granite City Steel, that they can actually take advantage of federal grants to decarbonize our steelmaking process, to continue to make the investments needed in that facility to get those blast furnaces operational again. I have been rebuffed as we have been sharing that with U.S. Steel and the opportunities they could be taking advantage of. Now we see them pivoting to this potential sale with Nippon. I'm just, and where I stand right now is, until I see Nippon make that commitment that they're going to continue to invest in Granite City, I stand in opposition to the deal and the sale, and stand with the working people, the steel workers that make our steel, that make the community of Granite City so great.
Because U.S. Steel has basically said that if that deal doesn't go through, they can't guarantee those blast furnaces will fire back up.
That's right. And those are, quite frankly, the games that U.S. Steel has been playing with the people of Granite City for far too long. I think that what we need is just to continue to make the case that we make unique steel in Granite City. The steelmaking process is unique to any other part of the steel industry. We have the best workforce in the world right there in Granite City. And so we need to just continue to see that investment. It's been a profitable business in Granite City for U.S. Steel for decades. And so we'd like to see them continue to stay.
Let's talk about Cahokia Heights. Mm-hmm. They had more flooding over the summer. I know that plans were going forward, you know, to replace a significant portion of their sewer system. Where does that stand now for that community?
Yeah, this has been one of my top priorities since coming into office, is addressing what has been actually a many decades long problem for Cahokia Heights in the region. This is really focused a lot on stormwater. The ditches that actually have been built, there's one called the Harding Ditch. It's called the Harding Ditch because President Harding actually established, built that ditch. This is hundreds of years old ditches that just aren't able to take on the stormwater that is hitting this region. And so one of the things we've been doing very early on is working very closely with the Army Corps of Engineers, which has a plan to actually expand Spring Lake. I think by expanding projects like Spring Lake, that will allow it to take on more of the stormwater surge when that happens and relieve the pressure on the ditches that is causing a lot of the residential flooding. That's one thing that I know myself and both senators Durbin and Duckworth have been really prioritizing. The second that we're trying to really prioritize is making sure that there is a reassessment and evaluation of what the impact of this flooding that has been in existence for decades means in that community. There hasn't been an assessment done of its impact in over 20 years. So I think getting that done will help us get a fuller picture of the impact and help us kind of with longer term permanent solutions to getting this situation resolved. The last thing I'd mention, Megan, is the first thing we did successfully, I think, when we came into office was urging the EPA to designate a coordinator on the ground to coordinate basically around the stakeholders. Local, state, and federal stakeholders are now collaborating for the first time in a real meaningful way to getting this problem resolved. That EPA coordinator has helped us with that. She's also helped us with increasing transparency and accountability around the funding sources that are coming into the community, making sure they're prioritized where they need to be. So this is not a problem that is going to get solved overnight, but it is something that I'm really committed to and want to continue to lead on into a second term.
What does your district need in terms of trying to turn some of these communities back into vibrant communities that are economic drivers again?
Yeah, I think it's multiple things. I think it is economic investment, economic development assessment. Some of that is around infrastructure. One of the things I'm really proud of was Wieland, actually in Alton, a large manufacturing employer was thinking about looking to move potentially out of the community. What we were able to do is to keep them there by pulling together state and federal resources. I was able to identify a water infrastructure project that Wieland really needed as a part of their investment to staying in the community. That those infrastructure dollars actually help keep them there, along with the partnership with the governor's office. That's a real success story in keeping industry in our communities. But what we want is also to attract industry. One of the things I talk about a lot on the eastern side of my district is that I represent Silicon Valley. We got a designation as a tech hub, a $51 million grant in biomanufacturing and fermentation. That's a location-based investment in a place where we grow a lot of corn and soybean in my district, and taking what would otherwise be agricultural waste put in a landfill, repurposing it to create a whole new industry in biomanufacturing and fermentation, which is creating things like yoga pants, replacing our plastic or our tennis shoes. These are new industries that we can be creating in central and southern Illinois. Those are the kind of opportunities I'm really trying to prioritize, and we're having some success.
One of the issues that I have been covering recently has been the pharmacy benefit managers and some of the focus now that the FTC has put on some of the insulin price fixing and some of the other things that they are alleging are happening there. I know you've worked some in this arena. What are you hearing from the smaller local pharmacies about what they're dealing with?
Thank you for asking that question. It's something that I hear about a lot in the district. You know, I'm really proud to be an original co-sponsor of legislation called the Pharmacist Fight Back Act. And it's specifically to speak to exactly what the FTC is really revealing about these PBMs. PBMs came into the market ideally as the middleman to help bring down the cost of prescription drugs because they're the middleman between the pharmaceutical company and the patient. But what we're actually really finding out, and the FTC is really revealing, is that they are the problem. They are actually driving patients to three of the bigger kind of conglomerate pharmacies in a way from the local guy, away from the local pharmacist. So it is squeezing the local pharmacist, potentially putting a lot of them out of business. What that means for the cost of prescription drugs is it means less competition. With less competition, you see increasing prices in prescription drugs. So the Pharmacist Fight Back Act would basically say to the PBMs, you can no longer route patients to the big guys. We want the patient to be able to have the freedom to decide wherever they're going to get their prescription filled. In addition to that, we want the PBMs to share 80% of the rebate directly with the patient. And I think those kind of common sense approaches are going to help us bring down the cost of prescription drugs, help us support our local pharmacists. And I would also say, Megan, this is a bipartisan issue. This legislation has both Democratic and Republican co-sponsors. I really am looking forward to continuing this fight into the next Congress.
Is this a hard sell, though, when you consider that right across the river from you, we've got Express Scripts,
right,
which is one of the biggies, you know, CVS Caremark, it's all tied in together. And I think there's some companies in the Chicagoland area as well. You know, is that hard when you're looking at employers that probably do have Illinois residents that work there.
Sure. Like, they're going to obviously get a fair share of this market that we're, you know, but I think what we're saying is we don't want them to have a monopoly on the market. The three companies could potentially consolidate so much of this industry and really reduce the amount of patient options and competition. And so they will be fine and they will get their fair share. But I do think that we want to make sure that we're not completely squashing competition and eliminating the ability for the little guy to even survive in this market.
Congresswoman, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Megan. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.